What's up, everybody? I'm really excited to be announcing a new podcast by the Media Junkie from a fellow agent, Jason. When he isn't taking back DC with me in the division, he's busy being an avid wrestling fan following the WWE. That excitement has led him to create Gimmick Minute, a destination for all wrestling fans. Although you'll find it here this week, you can catch the show posted bi-weekly on its own feed. Just search Gimmick Minute on your podcast platform of choice. And with that being said, enjoy the show.
Welcome, everybody, to the Gimmick Minute podcast. My name is Jason Hummel. I will be the host of this show. Sometimes I'll be joined by somebody, but today I'm going to be flying solo. So this episode is actually being posted on, this podcast comes to you part as the Media Junkies channel. I'm actually part of the Media Junkies. I've been a member helping try to get this channel and their YouTube page and everything established. So this is kind of my contribution. I'm a huge WWE fan, so we're going to go ahead and roll with this and roll out this podcast and see how it goes. So this episode is actually being posted on the Rogue Agents podcast channel. So it's a podcast that we do for fans of the Division 2 video game. So if anybody plays that game, please check out that podcast as well. So the next episode will be posted on its own channel, but because this is the WrestleMania recap show and with new podcasts, it takes about 5 days to post a new episode. I just decided, why not go ahead and just piggyback off of the following that that my friends have already created and just post on this channel for this week and then start off on our own channel starting with next week's show. So the reason why we want to do this is, like I said, it's a WrestleMania recap show. So now that WrestleMania has ended and we've had Raw and SmackDown both end as well, I wanted to kind of recap everything, kind of give my opinions on it, how I thought everything went. And please feel free, if you have an opinion that's different than mine, you can tweet at me, you can leave a message on the podcast channel. Just let me know what you think, and we can maybe even get a little bit of nice banter back and forth. So starting out, I just kind of want to touch base on like some of the early stuff that happened in WrestleMania, and then I'm going to go a little bit more deeper into like some of the more main event matches and things of that nature. So first I want to start off with the Raw Tag Team Championship match that was on the pre-show. I love the Revival, kind of sad that they took the belts off them, but good on, you know, Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins. And you know, I kind of like the fact that Zack Ryder always has these like kind of lucky WrestleMania wins just kind of out of nowhere. So hopefully, you know, they'll hold on to the belts for a little while longer and kind of give back some wins to Curt Hawkins after he went on that ridiculously long losing streak. The Women's Battle Royal I thought was pretty decent. I was kind of a big fan of the way that they gave Dana Brooke a nice little spot there, especially after she got her ass handed to her by Ronda Rousey a few weeks ago on Raw. It was kind of nice that she was built up a little bit. I think she's got a little bit of potential there, working on her promos and different things like that, that she could be really good. And really outside of that, Riot Squad had a really good showing. I thought Sarah Logan looked awesome, and Carmella sneaking in there to get the win, it was kind of nice. The Andre Battle Royal, kind of a joke again, really, honestly. I think every year this is kind of becoming more and more of a joke as opposed to like a big event. But I got to give a big shout out to Colin Jost because I'm a huge Browns fan. So when he came out rocking that Odell Beckham Browns jersey, I had to say I really wanted him to win after that. So then WrestleMania kicked off, and it was one heck of a kickoff with the Universal Championship match. It was very surprising. I really liked how they transitioned Paul Heyman out while Hulk Hogan was still there. It kind of made it feel like a real. The match overall, really, Seth ended up brocking Brock Lesnar is kind of how it boiled down. I mean, he just got a quick win. But after he took like a beat down for about a good 5 to 10 minutes, I mean, it really wasn't much, but overall it did what it needed to do. It got the championship off of Brock and on to Seth Rollins. And it's good that the Universal Championship will actually finally be featured on TV. So I'm excited about that to see kind of the stories that they're going to build from there. The SmackDown tag match I thought was amazing. I really loved the back and forth. I liked how they were able to involve each other so quickly, all the quick tags and just the constant of somebody new being in the ring all the time. I thought they did a great job of that. And even the Raw Women's Tag Match did a pretty decent job of that too. Although that match to me was just kind of clunky, and I get the Iconics winning. I do. I would have liked to have seen them keep it on the Boston Hug Connection for maybe a little while longer. But I really, really honestly would have rather just seen a Beth Phoenix versus Nia Jax match, because I think that's where the money's at. They had their little run-in at the Royal Rumble the first year. They had, you know, that run-in at Fastlane, and I honestly thought that that would have been the better build. And maybe just did the tag match. You could have even done Iconics versus Boston Hug and had them get a lucky win. I don't know. But I feel like WWE kind of maybe missed the boat. Maybe Beth isn't able to do a full match against Nia Jax. Maybe they were worried about that. I don't know. Or if you're not going to do that, do the Divas of Doom versus Boston Hug. I mean, that could have been a great match on its own as well without involving the other two teams. But it's not what they did, but overall it was an okay match. I'm going to kind of go a little bit out of order just because I'm going to talk a little bit more about other matches. But, Demon Finn versus Bobby Lashley, I thought it was nice because it was a back and forth match, but they still made the Demon look stronger. And they really established that as when Finn comes out as the Demon, he literally can go up against anybody. And having a big guy like Bobby Lashley up against him really kind of sells that. Then the next two matches, honestly, I felt like were kind of killed by Kofi and Bryan, and we'll talk about that later. But Joe and Ray, and also Roman and Drew, the crowd was just dead. And Joe and Ray, I know it was a quick match because Ray was hurt, and that's actually probably a good thing because I think it's more memorable that it was a quick match, because if they would have gone out there, like the crowd was just completely deflated, and it really showed when... especially when Roman and Drew got out there, because they just could not get pumped up for that match. And, you know, I had a good story going in, and it was an okay match. Like, I'm not one of those people that hates on Roman. I think he does a pretty good job when he's out there, and he gives it his all. He's definitely somebody that loves the business. You know, he was born into it, you know, so he gets a lot of flack that I'm not sure he necessarily deserves. But as fans, we kind of want our own thing, and, you know, at the time, for a while he was it, then all of a sudden he wasn't, and then it just kind of turned into something that he just couldn't get out of. His whole cancer scare, I think, has gotten the fans more on his side. I think they could have done a little bit more, maybe to build up to this match, or maybe had, but maybe it was just a good match for Roman to get back into the swing of things, right? I really, really, really was confused during the Batista and Triple H match. It was a brutal match. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it really was. But really, it was kind of confusing because, you know, the whole build to this match was a heel Batista with a babyface Triple H. But Triple H kind of worked heel during the entire match. I mean, he did some pretty damn despicable things, you know, crushing Batista's fingers in the channel locks, pulling out his nose ring. I mean, that was like Randy Orton-esque, like psychologically brutal things that he did in that match that really were very heelish. So it just kind of confused me. But overall, I mean, they for Batista not having been in a match in a long time, I mean, he definitely brought it. You could definitely tell he was maybe a little amped up going out there because he tripped walking into the ring, and he kind of had to take a little bit of a lap around, I think, to, you know, calm himself down a little bit. Maybe he just was a little worked up, but, he definitely kind of, you know, settled back in, and they had a decent match. But yeah, just overall, it was just kind of confusing. And I don't know if anybody else got a seizure during Triple H's entrance, but I definitely did. Those green lights flashing off of all that stuff, man, I mean, my eyes were just going absolutely crazy. So that high definition is great until, you know, you have things like that going on, and it just creates this strobe effect. And I'm still dizzy from it. So the next match I want to talk about is the Baron Corbin versus Kurt Angle match. Now, this is going to be an unpopular opinion, but that is exactly what should have happened. I like Baron Corbin. I'm not going to lie. I know a lot of people hate on him, and honestly, the fact that people hate on him means that he's doing his job. It's a good thing. He's a heel. He's a bad guy. You're supposed to hate him. And I honestly do not get where some of this hate comes from on him. Okay, he was a football player, and it took him a little while to come out of NXT. But really, man, I get that the guy didn't grow up a wrestling fan. I understand that whole thing of it, and I think that's where a lot of his flack comes from. But really, I mean, give the guy some credit for picking things up the way that he has. He's very athletic. He does some really good things, and he's young. He's still up and coming, and he needed of all the superstars on the roster right now, he needed that rub of being the guy that beat Kurt Angle on his way out. And let's face it, Kurt was on his way out. You go out on your back. That's just the wrestling business. That's how it is. There's no storybook, fairy tale, hero ending for the guy that's leaving, who's ending his career. That's just not how it works. So anybody that had expectations of something else happening or John Cena getting involved, I mean, I think that was just kind of like much to do about nothing, because Baron Corbin really is the guy that should have been in that position, and he was a guy who was in that position, and him getting the win is exactly what should have happened. And if you have something else to say about it, you can tweet me at JT Hummel, and you can also tweet at the Media Junkie Vids, and you can reach me that way. You can leave a comment on the podcast channel, and we can have a nice discussion of why I think Baron Corbin is good, and why I think he needed that match, and why I think he was the right person for the job. So if you have a different opinion, get at me. Let me know. Like I said, normally I'd have somebody else on here kind of bantering back and forth, but this is the first episode. I kind of wanted to do it on my own and just kind of get it out there. I still want to have that audience participation and interaction. So, let's move on to some of the more main events. So first, I kind of want to talk about the Elias segment. A lot of people were kind of expecting Undertaker in this spot. And, of course, expectations, and everybody also knew that John Cena was there, but they kind of expected him to do something with Kurt Angle. But I loved the Doctor of Thuganomics coming out. That was my favorite version of John Cena, so I will always be a fan of when he comes out. And, he had some good rhymes to spit. I love that the Babe Ruth entrance coming in, and the fact that he had the chain on and everything. I mean, it was a great overall fun segment. I even loved how he pumped up the sneakers before he delivered the FU. I mean, it was great. It was great. I loved it. Like I said, that was my favorite version of John Cena, and the nostalgia for me was great. And, it was fun fun to see kind of Elias do his thing even before that, where he was basically, had the band of himself playing. I thought that was awesome. So overall, that was great. Not quite as good as what happened to Elias on Raw, but we'll get there in a little bit. Now, as far as the main event goes, I'm going to talk about the women's main event first. And the reason why I'm doing that is just because I really, honestly, and this also may be an unpopular opinion, I do not think this match should have closed the show. Had it been a build from the start of Survivor Series all the way to WrestleMania between Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey, then yes, that should have closed the show, and that should have been basically the main focus of it. And that angle was so hot at the time that they could have kept it up and nothing else could have touched it. But they got too cute. Like, WWE really messed this up by putting, like, and I don't want, I'm going to put this out there, but this has nothing to do with how I feel about Charlotte Flair. Like, yeah, okay, they give her opportunities, but she's earned them. Charlotte Flair is good. She is good in the ring. She is good on the microphone. Yes, I know she is Ric Flair's daughter, but if you watch that girl do a tequila sunrise off of the top rope, Spanish fly, my fault. You watch her do the Spanish fly off of the top rope. I mean, she's incredibly athletic. She does really great things in the ring. She is a draw. So whether you love her, whether you hate her, Charlotte Flair belongs in main event matches. But I don't think she belonged in this main event. I think they forced her in there, and that really killed some of the heat between Ronda and Becky. and it killed a little bit of what Becky has built up. It's actually kind of astonishing to see how much the fans still care about Becky, even though that the storyline had been completely botched and at times really made her look weak. So I think now that she's the champion, good old Becky Two Belts, I think she's starting to look stronger and stronger. But the whole thing getting there, though, I think could have been done a whole lot better. And even if they included Charlotte, there are better ways that they could have included Charlotte that still would have kept that heat and kept that fire. Now, overall, the match was good. I mean, it had some really great spots in it. I thought each one of the ladies brought it. That spot where Charlotte had Rhonda hanging over the ropes and then Becky drop-kicked her through her legs and all the way to the floor. I mean, Rhonda took a hell of a bump there. I mean, it was a great visual. I think there was a few spots that got a little messed up. I think Rhonda sometimes moves a little too fast for her own good. So I think she just kind of gets to a point sometimes where she's moving too quickly, or maybe she tries to do too much in one move. That kind of messes some things up and kind of messes up the timing and the flow of things. But overall, I thought she did great. I thought Charlotte looked awesome. Like I said, hitting that Spanish fly off of the top rope, that she took that nasty bump onto the table, which did not break the right way. I don't think they had it set up quite properly. But, you know, overall, Becky, man, still bringing it. She looked great. She basically carried throughout the match. She kept the heat up throughout the match. The fans were into it. And but the finish, I think the finish is the only part of this match I didn't think was great. And I don't believe any of the rumors. I don't think Rhonda went rogue. I don't think Becky was supposed to tap out Charlotte and she went rogue. I don't think that it was a conspiracy or anything like that. I honestly think that either Rhonda messed up by accidentally popping her shoulders up, or the referee messed up by starting the count too fast. So one way or the other, somebody messed that up, because like I believe that match ended the way it was supposed to. But that is also part of my problem with it. It was a quick finish. Okay, I get that. It was a surprise. But if you take a look at the Kofi and Bryan match and how that ended, like, that's how the Becky Rhonda situation should have ended. It should have ended with that emotion, with that heat, and with that no doubt finish. And it just kind of came out of nowhere and it was shocking. So this whole big main event build up, and it just comes with a really quick ending. It was just, for me, it was just a little bit unsatisfying, which is why I really feel like Kofi Kingston and Daniel Bryan should have main evented the show. That match had the most heat. It had the best story going in. It had a better angle and everything. Like, it was a quick build, but it was an effective build. They built like a real personal story between Kofi and the establishment, Kofi and Bryan, and in the ring they told a great story. And Kofi just has that, man, like that real, that raw emotion just kind of comes out of him. And like, he got really, like, you know, throughout the whole build he was getting pumped up, and even in the match he got real pumped up at one point, started smacking his chest, and the fans just started kind of going bananas. And then when the whole thing happened on the outside of the ring and Bryan was going to kind of do the dive through the ropes and Kofi stopped it, I mean, from then on, like, that match, you just knew it was going to be Kofi's. It was just a matter of time, and you're just waiting and waiting and waiting. And when he finally hit that Trouble in Paradise and got the pin for the 1-2-3, that place erupted, and it took the air completely out of the rest of the show. I mean, it, really, if you watch that show up until that match, it's probably one of the best WrestleManias of all time. But then if you kind of watch after that match, it just kind of sinks down and then starts coming back up a little bit, and it comes up for the main event, but it never ever reaches that level that it was at when Kofi was in that ring celebrating with New Day after he got the 1-2-3 on Daniel Bryan. So I really just think that that should have ended the show, just because it would have ended on such a good note. Or, you know, like I said, they could have done it a little bit better. I don't know if maybe they didn't want they didn't want the same ending for Kofi and Becky. They wanted it to be a little bit different. But I don't think it would have been, in this situation, I don't think it would have been a bad thing for it to have such the same type of build to the end, because the fans were on the edge of their seats and making more noise than I think I've ever heard. Like, in an open stadium like that, you don't normally hear the crowd all that much, but you heard every single one of those 80,000 people at MetLife Stadium when Kofi Kingston beat Daniel Bryan. All right, so we're going to move on and talk a little bit about the match, the Raw after WrestleMania and the SmackDown after WrestleMania, and then we'll kind of close everything out, and I'll kind of put this out to the masses and, you know, see what kind of feedback we get on it. Like I said, other shows will be a little bit different because I'll have somebody else with me kind of bouncing things back and forth, so, you know, it might have a different flow and a different feel to it, but, you know, hopefully this is kind of, some of you have listened to this and you think that you might have the same opinion I do or maybe a different opinion. Please feel free to share that with me. But going on to the Raw after Mania, I thought it was a little bit overwhelming, but overall, or underwhelming, I'm sorry, but overall it was kind of good. I love the opening, just the whole idea of the winner-take-all match at the end of the night. I mean, that's something you've never seen before on a Raw, especially a Raw after WrestleMania. I thought that was amazing, and I really like the format and the flow of Raw, how it is now, where basically one segment kind of bleeds into the other. It makes the show kind of feel like it's going faster. Watching a three-hour Raw sometimes can be a little, you know, but the way that they're kind of formatting it now really seems to kind of take some of that away, because you're not, it's not as predictable anymore. You know, you're not always getting the same thing over and over again, which is nice. I thought the end of the show was a little strange, and we'll get to that, but, you know, we had a couple of things that popped up. You know, it looks like they're teasing Bray Wyatt coming back with a weird, creepy-looking sock puppet, so I'm kind of curious where that's going. We saw Sami Zayn's return, which, you know, he got a huge pop from the crowd. And then, you know, he had his match with Finn Balor, which as soon as Finn Balor accepted the challenge, you're thinking, man, all right, Sami's going to lose this match. And it's kind of like, ah, great, Sami's coming back just to lose. But the way that he turned that loss into cutting such an amazing heel promo, I thought was amazing. I loved the promo that Sami Zayn gave after that, and he really kind of went back to establishing himself as kind of the true heel that he was starting to build to be before he got hurt when he was teaming up with Kevin Owens. So I'm curious to see, especially now that Kevin Owens is really kind of a baby face now, really, in a way. So I'm curious to see, with Sami on his own as a heel, what he'll be able to do, and I'm really intrigued by that. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Sami does going forward. I absolutely love the Elias segment again. I'm a huge Undertaker mark. My video game moniker is Deadman24, so I've always been a huge Undertaker fan. And when Elias said that the next person that interrupts him is going to be a dead man, I mean, I kind of crossed my fingers, because I'm thinking, oh, that'd be such a perfect time to bring him in. And don't you know it, the dong hit, Undertaker made his way out. That was awesome. So I honestly, that's kind of the moment I was hoping for at WrestleMania, but getting in at the Raw at WrestleMania, I think, was even better, because the crowd was so hot for it. And it really added to the experience to really be able to hear that pop that he got when he made his entrance. And I think it was long overdue to see the dead man. It's been a while since he's been around. Hopefully he's around a little bit more, because he looks like he is in amazing shape for a 54-year-old man. So, you know, good on him for dropping some pounds and getting into some good ring shape. So maybe we'll get to see a few more matches out of him this year. I'd really look forward to it, especially if he's, you know, working really well. So, and I really, you know, this was after Raw went off the air, but if you happen to go back and watch, Seth Rollins calls out Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose, and they kind of do like a little bit of a goodbye to Dean Ambrose. I don't know where he's ending up. You know, of course, you know, there's a whole bunch of rumors and different things like that. You know, maybe the guy just needs some time off. Maybe he's just unhappy with his direction, or maybe overall he just wants to do something else for a little bit. I really, honestly, and I'm being serious about this, I don't think he's going to show up on AEW. I'd be surprised if he did. I mean, I've been wrong before, but I feel like he'll eventually come back. And maybe he's just going to take a little extra time, maybe to heal up from some nagging injuries, and maybe, you know, rethink how he wants to do his character, and then come back a little bit stronger down the road. Because when you think about it, his wife still works for WWE, you know, his friends are there, and, you know, why are you going to leave the company that basically runs the world in professional wrestling to go to a startup where you never know how that's going to end up? Now, maybe he'll get some more creative freedom, so maybe he will do something along those lines, but I honestly don't think that, I don't feel like that's going to be the case, but, you know, I could be wrong. So Raw, again, a little underwhelming, but overall it was a decent show. I think it just didn't have a lot of, like, call-ups, because, you know, I think they're really going to do a lot with the Superstar Shake-Up, and I'll talk a little bit about that kind of at the end, but I think that's, you know, other than Lars Sullivan showing up, which he also showed up on SmackDown, really, I mean, they had such a build-up for Lars Sullivan where they teased him, and then all of a sudden you heard nothing about the guy other than a slight mention here and there. And then he comes out with no build at all to basically crickets. I think he would have got a better reaction had he gone after Baron Corbin instead of Kurt Angle, because then people would have been shocked, you know, because everybody expected him to come out and be a monster heel. So, that was just, I don't know, it was just weird. I just think for him to show up now, you know, after the build was months ago, and just have, it was just kind of underwhelming. But, and also on SmackDown too, he came out and attacked the Hardys after they won the tag team championships. I mean, that's just kind of strange. But going along with SmackDown, it was pretty good show. It was just the show of tag matches. Did Teddy Long come back to be the guest general manager? And I just didn't know about it. I mean, what, we had 2 6-man tag matches. We had a men's tag team championship match, a women's tag team championship match against this, you know, amazing undefeated team from Brooklyn. And, you know, it was all tag matches. But overall, I mean, they were decent matches. So, but I had a couple questions coming out of that. One, I thought it was pretty interesting that Raw had no Roman Reigns and SmackDown had no Daniel Bryan. You know, that's kind of interesting that neither one of those guys were featured on the show. So it kind of makes you wonder what could be happening in the Superstar Shakeup. I'm also curious, how long do you think Kofi Kingston will really be champ? It seemed like bringing Drew McIntyre in to be the third person with the bar might kind of indicate that they're going that route with Kofi, that they're going to be heading towards Drew McIntyre. And if that's the case, man, I don't know if Kofi's going to have that belt on his waist for too much longer. And with Money in the Bank coming up, who knows? Because anybody, you know, it's a really up for grabs. They haven't even started building to it yet. And speaking of Drew McIntyre, what happened to him? He just disappeared from that match. You know, they had that spot where he did the Alabama Slam to Xavier on the announce table, and then they went to commercial, and when they came back from commercial, Drew was not there at all, and he wasn't a part of the match the rest of the time. So I'm curious to find out, like, what happened to Drew McIntyre in that match, because he just disappeared. That was strange. If anybody happens to know, tweet at me or post a comment in the podcast channel, because I'd like to know what happened to him. You know, so, you know, send us a tweet at Media Junkie Vids or JT Hummel, and let us know what happened to Drew McIntyre, because I'm curious. All right, so this again is the inaugural show. A little bit different than what it'll be going forward, but I just kind of want to get it out there, express my opinions on WrestleMania. I'm curious to see who has some of the same opinions as I did, or who might have some different opinions. So please feel free to comment below, tweet at me, like I said, at JT Hummel, or you could tweet at Media Junkie Vids. Get at me, let me know. Media Junkie Vids is MEDIA, Media Junkie, JUNKIE, and Vids, VIDS. So tweet at me at either one of those locations. I'll be happy to go back and forth with you, have a little banter back and forth, you know, share some opinions. I really want to know how other people feel. Like I said, and if you listen to the intro that's on the Gimmick Minute podcast channel, you know, I'm one of those people that I like to watch it to watch it. I don't like to be spoiled. I'm not listening to rumors. I'm not listening to, you know, people's opinions on what they think might happen and different things like that. I strictly watch what happens. I react to it. I try not to have any expectations, because I feel, honestly, a lot of the times as fans, our expectations end up just kind of ruining the experience because you get so worked up thinking this is going to happen or this is going to happen or this is going to happen. And when it doesn't happen, you're like, man, that sucks. That should have happened. Instead of just really taking the time to enjoy what they're actually putting out there. So, that's kind of my opinion on things, and that's kind of the flow that I like to try to bring. But, and I'll have some other guys on here too that are going to have different opinions, and they're also going to have different ways of looking at it. So we'll kind of like have some good conversations back and forth. But so please subscribe on your favorite podcast app, whether it's iTunes or if it's Google Play, Spotify, anywhere you find podcasts, please subscribe to us. Also subscribe to any of the other Media Junkie content that we have out there. You can find us on basically any form of media. Twitter is at Media Junkie Vids. Instagram is at Media Junkie Vids. We pretty much have something for everybody. There's movies, there's TV, there's comic content, there's toy content, pretty much unboxing vids, like pretty much anything nerdy that you can come up with. We have a spot for it at Media Junkies. So please subscribe to anything you can there. Our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/mediajunkie. So, and then, leave me a 5-star review and also leave me some feedback, good or bad. Let me know how I did and, how I can make this podcast better, or, what we can improve on, or what you liked and want to hear more of. So please let me know. You can also find me on other podcasts that Media Junkie offers. So like on this channel, on episode 4 of the Rogue Agents podcast, if you're a fan of Division 2, you can find us on that. And like I said, check out our next episode, which normally my plan with the show is to do an episode before, like basically the go home after the go home editions leading up to a pay-per-view. We're gonna have a podcast out that Wednesday, and then after the pay-per-view airs and you have the two Raw and SmackDown afterwards, then the Wednesday after that Wednesday we'll have a podcast air as well. So basically just kind of reacting to the build up to the pay-per-view and then what happens after the pay-per-view. But there are going to be a few exceptions. So really we don't know about the build to Money in the Bank yet because they're focused on the Superstar Shakeup. So I'm curious to see how that shakes out. So I think we'll do a reaction podcast to the Superstar Shakeup next week to kind of talk about what happened, what we liked about it, and I'll try and get a couple, one or two friends on here with me so we can talk about what we felt was great about it, and maybe if we thought they missed on a couple opportunities. So tune in for that, check that out, and I'm just going to close it out by saying this: don't forget to be a fan, and always remember to live your gimmick. Thanks.